Welcome, 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 welcome to C&C Chat Chat. You know, I almost said welcome to your show, food for your soul. I think I've said that for so many years. Welcome to C&C Chat Chat. It is an honor and a privilege for me to welcome you and sit here with my lovely co-host, Miss Claudia.
And you
I'm Cardelia Reed. That's who I am. Thank you for reminding me because there's so much going on today. Wow. Look at that.
I'm your other co-host, Claudia DeMartino. Wow. As Cardelia so warmly welcomed you to C&C Chat Chat. We come to you each week where we chat about life issues from a biblical perspective. There are no masks, no pretense, no script. It's just us keeping it real. And can you believe we are in episode 35 right now?
I cannot, but I feel like we just started this yesterday.
I know.
I really do. It's just so natural.
Yeah.
It's too natural.
Yeah, and we've been having a good time, trust me.
Yeah.
But we decided it's time to go in a little different direction for the next few episodes. We always bring you topics that are biblical but are based on life issues because, you know, and because we all deal with life.
Absolutely.
But we decided that we've been coming to you now since the end of June last year and since the September here on the Cross Network TV, and we thought it might be a good idea for you to get to know us a bit better.
Have you gotten to know us at all?
I mean, the basic has been enough. Now,
been enough.
I think we've been a bit transparent and vulnerable over the last few months. But we decided to dedicate the next few episodes to, I'm going to be interviewing Cardelia, and then she's going to be interviewing me, because we just thought it would be appropriate at this point in time, because we're so grateful you've been joining us every week.
Absolutely.
This time, and for the newcomers, you may have missed us being vulnerable and opening up over the course of time. So today, I'm going to be interviewing my lovely co-host Cardelia.
It's wonderful. Yes.
And just so you know, I have tissues here just in case. I think they might be more for me than for her. But
How funny.
But we're very vulnerable. We're very real. Mm. And it's a time that just pull up a chair, get relaxed, have some coffee, and get to know us. It's coffee. It's chat time.
Mm. And you have to promise us that you're going to still be our friends once this is over. Because you're going to enjoy this.
So, with all that said, I think it might be best if we just start with a little bit of how you grew up and what your spiritual background was as a child, and then we'll just kind of move from that.
No, it's a very good question because I grew up in a Baptist home, and so very religious, which means we didn't really know the Lord. We knew the Bible, and that's really if we knew that.
Yeah.
And so with that said, you know, my father was always a deacon. He actually became a pastor when I became an adult. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a PK kid. Okay. I wasn't this rebellious kid, but we were in church all the time, sometimes multiple times on Sundays because, you know, we did the choir, we did the usher, and so we were always a part of something. Like, it was an active family church. Mm-hmm. And I actually gave my life over to the Lord when I was 11. Yeah. I did the water baptism, and things really got crazy spiritually. And so when you say spiritual to a Baptist person, that means paranormal to us.
But what do you mean by got crazy on a spiritual level?
Yeah. So when I was like 11 years old, I remember vividly we had this morning bench in our church. And, you know, the morning bench is when you decide you're going to give your life over to the Lord. You know, you sit up there and that's when you get ready. Yeah. You sit there all week.
Are you mourning because you're mourning your past self or is it only done in the morning?
Yeah. It's a great question. It's a morning bench like you're mourning your past self. That's exactly what it is. And you're getting ready to change into a new life. Go figure. And so I sat there every week, but this was during revival in July. And I never forget, I sat there and there was this lady on the other side of the pews on the other side of the church. She just stared at me with a supernatural stare. She did not blink. So I'm like, is she looking at me? I'm 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is she looking at me? You know, like, who are you looking at? Mm-hmm. And she just kept looking and she kept looking and kept looking. Well, a month later, you know, once again, I'm sitting in this church and church was over and their funeral was starting. And in comes the casket. They bring the casket in, you know, before the funeral starts. They open up the casket. Guess who's in the casket? The same lady that was staring at me.
What?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, whoa.
Were you seeing a spirit?
No. It was her big time because apparently she got sick. She hadn't been at church in a while. And so she got sick. She died. Mm-hmm. I'm a child. I'm 11 years old. I have no idea, but she was clearly dead in the casket. And, you know, I'm 11 years old, so I'm logical reason like an 11-year-old. But I had like a lot of things going on supernaturally in my room at night at that time. I would wake up from sleep before my mind wake up before my body, called sleep paralysis. It was just starting a lot when I was starting to go through puberty. Okay, which is very common if you look up anything about that situation. So at this time, I'm experiencing that. But when this lady's funeral was in, it kind of blew my mind a little bit. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. This lady was staring at me, you know. Now she's in the casket dead. Well, lo and behold, I was so afraid when this was happening to me. I used to tell my parents, they would say, oh, you ate too many sweets. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you know, this reason to the way. I turned my light on. And it would still happen with my light on. I turned my light on and I woke up from sleep in the supernatural state where sleep paralysis. And I'm trying to walk and there's this lady on the side of my bed dressed in all white with a white veil over her head. And she's looking down like this and I'm looking at her as I'm trying to get out the room. Mm-hmm. It was the same lady that was staring at me that was in the casket.
Wow.
Yeah, which would get anybody the heebie-jeebies, but at the end of the day, we know that we have authority over this thing. But at 11 years old, I knew nothing. Mm-hmm. I was just scared. And so at this time, I freaked out so bad that I woke up. Mm-hmm. And I popped up in my room, light on, the same, everything that was in place in the, you know, in the trance looked the same way when I woke up. So everything was the same.
Have you ever experienced anything like this before?
Not the dead part. Mm-hmm. I experienced a witch. That was the first time I had a vivid witch was came into my room talking to me, and she sat down in front of my bed, and I woke up and grabbed her face like this, which is so dramatic, I know. And my face, my hand sucked into her face. It started sinking, and it felt like sand. And so when I did that, I woke up, and my room was the same. I was like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And I'm a child dealing with a trance. I have no idea what's going on.
And your
with
parents
me.
Did not understand.
No,
any
God,
of
no.
This.
They scared them half to death. They just said, you know, my father was secretly thinking something was wrong with me, but he didn't say it. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, you just had a bad dream. But she knew deep down inside that wasn't the truth because her mom had strange things happen to her, but they didn't know anything about the supernatural.
So it's kind of like in your family?
It was 100% genetic on both sides of the family. Okay. Yeah. So my mom's mother saw things about death. And my father's father was most likely into voodoo.
That's what I was about to ask
Big
you.
Time.
Were they involved in demonic activity, witchcraft and stuff like that?
Came from slavery, and they just got into some really nasty stuff.
So there was a root cause for all of this. And it linked itself to you.
Absolutely. Okay. And a lot of people on that side of the family, the remnants of that on my father's side, it's just still horrible to this day. We had so many deaths, unexplained deaths in the family. A lot of the family members dying of the same things. We've had double funerals. You know, that, we just recently had a double funeral. We had double funerals in the past. Like a lot of one after the other. People think, what is the Lord doing? It's your number. So many things where they don't know God's word. Mm-hmm. They just think, oh, it's just happening. No, it's not just happening. It's a curse. Someone has to break it in Jesus' name, you know?
So what transpired when you were going through all of this? What happened? Like, move forward a little bit. Did you experience this for years?
Yeah. I went through this knowingly from the time I was. I started going through it more frequently at the time I was 11, up until the time I was in my 30s.
Wow.
I kept it secret. The thing about it, you sleep most of your life, okay? And it's a big secret to keep because it's nothing no one can do to help you. No one can help you except the Lord. Mm-hmm. No one knows what you're going through except the Lord. And so when I tried to tell people, it was my parents, they shut me down, of course. But when I tried to even tell a friend, I tried to tell a friend one time, and one of my friends said that you shouldn't talk to dead people. That's necromancy. And that wasn't the case. They were coming to me. I didn't go to them. But the other thing is the Lord did send me one person at the age of 11, one of my brother's friends, who's actually a minister to this day, who said that when I told him I think demons are bothering me, he said, whenever that happens, you say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And they only responded to the name of Jesus. So when I got saved, like my true spiritual walk, in my 30s, when I got saved, truly, I found out that Heidi Baker talked about this exact thing. And she said that she noticed that those demons that come and bother you only respond, like in that trance state, to the name of Jesus. So a trance is you close your eyes and you actually are waking up in a state where you're looking at this room and you see spirits. You just see the supernatural world.
So what impact did this have on your life, especially as you got older and you were making decisions in your life? Yeah. And what impact did that have?
So keeping something like that secret, you just learn to pretend like you're normal, even though you know something's not normal about you. Mm-hmm. And eventually I could not keep it a secret because things started manifesting in my life that were not good. Of course, I made all kinds of sinful decisions, you know, like genetic. You're going to make decisions. Like my father came in through this role through infidelity. I think you and I talked about, mm-hmm. you know, I lived with a guy for 6 years and then it wasn't even just that. When you live with someone, they start experiencing supernatural stuff too. He mm-hmm. started actually experiencing it because of the soul ties, right? Yeah. And then really bad things start happening to me, particularly came out in my jobs. Like demons were just, people were so demonic. It was the same demon, a different person. Like the spirit of Jezebel, or just something even worse than that, the spirit of Absalom, the spirit of Judah. It was always at my job. Always, always, always.
Can you explain
always.
What the spirit of Absalom or the spirit of Jezebel is? Just
great
so people
question.
Might understand.
So I hope this really blesses you, because the spirit of Jezebel, the devil only sends that spirit out on the ones that he's really threatened by. So Jezebel is the one, she's a very jealous spirit, and she's the one that actually killed God's prophets. So if you have a calling, a prophetic calling on your life, Jezebel is one of the first demons you're going to deal with. And that particular demon is jealous. She's very seductive and not so much lustful, but you can meet a friend that can seduce you into saying, trust me, believe everything I tell you. Mm-hmm. And then you trust that person and you open up and they go back and they betray
okay.
you.
I got
That's
it.
The big spirit of Jezebel.
So people were jealous toward you. Mm-hmm. Were you jealous toward others as well?
They were jealous towards me big time.
Okay.
I mean, of course, you know, jealousy is not one of the biggest spirits that I've had, challenges I've had in my life. I mean, you're going to experience something, but no, I wouldn't say that wasn't my big challenge. My biggest challenge was just probably being too nice to people and people taking advantage
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, because I was just yeah. wondering about that.
Yeah.
Now, if people were jealous toward you,
yeah.
were you trying to win them over? Is for friendship and trying to please people?
That's a good
or
question.
Were you had a personality? I mean, I know you was a very strong personality.
Sure, sure.
Were you like that back then, or have you been transformed into the person you are today?
You know what? I am transformed to the person I am today. Back then, I just loved people. And the biggest problem I had was looking over when I saw the bad stuff.
Okay.
And not knowing how to deal with it, because the bad stuff was really bad. It could be, well, I know this person betrayed me. How do I deal with it? And so it was either I did nothing or I blew up on them. And that was horrible because rage ran in our household.
Okay.
And when I blew up on them, forget it. They couldn't deal with me. You know, I couldn't deal with myself. But that's how the devil has us dealing with things.
So did you have like no control over your emotions?
It's when I got upset, definitely.
Okay.
I've never been the kind of person that got upset easily, but it was more like a King David. If I could compare it to anyone, mm-hmm. it was like a righteous anger.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have the right to get angry, but you don't have the right to go nuts.
Yeah,
and yell and throw and act the fool. You know, we say act the fool in the South, so you have to excuse my Southern language. You don't have the right to let the devil rob you
yeah.
of that joy and push people away from you.
And you were know? Doing that. You were pushing
I
people
I would
away.
Do that sometimes,
okay.
yeah. But for the most part, I never realized that these, and just to back up for just a second, I used to always have dreams about things chasing after me to kill me. If I didn't have those dreams, I had something coming in the room bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a dream, I had dreams about caskets. I'm walking across the casket, people trying to wake up. And so I basically probably, if I'm sinning, if I'm making conscious choices to sin, you can imagine the unrest.
Mm-hmm.
In my dreams. And then I was like you, I could see things before they happened and didn't know how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I knew things and didn't know how to, you know, revert that over, especially things about death, big
yeah.
time.
Now, did this cause you to live yeah. in fear?
It's a great question. I never lived in fear because I learned to deal with it, but I was probably hiding more than anything. I probably wasn't really open the way I should be open.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, you know, I would get to, I honestly got to the point, Claudia, where I would go to funerals and I almost felt like I was going to pass out. Sometimes I couldn't even walk in the door because I would start sweating and I didn't know what was wrong with me. Because if you're carrying a gift of that inside of you and don't know, you know, it's like, cause I would go to a funeral and I know I'm kind of, I'll explain a little bit of this. I would go to a funeral and I would look at the person in the casket, but I would feel them near me.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel the life. I would feel the mm-hmm. life of them near me.
Mm-hmm.
Like this person's not dead.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could feel hell. I could feel their suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could just hear them talking because they really want something. If I didn't do that at the funeral, it could be like later. They would come in my room at night and talk to me. Mm-hmm. Or in a dream, they would ask me to do something for them. Mm-hmm. And so you think, well, maybe you're just scared of dead bodies. No, I'm not afraid of dead bodies. Mm-hmm. No, there's a portal somewhere in me that's causing these people to come. And so, like, you know, even my daughter was telling me how she had a dream about my brother that passed away. And she described him to a T. She's never met him. He died before she was born. That's mm-hmm. how my life had been. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we know that, as we know what it is spiritually. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. My mom took me to a funeral home. And when I was 6 years old, I looked in the casket and I saw the person move as if they were trying to wake up. I went into trauma. Mm-hmm. I could not explain. My mom thought I was afraid of the dead body. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. I completely forgot about this. When I started my walk in 2016, yes, 2016, very recently with the Lord brought all this back to my mind and mm-hmm. said, let's deal with it. You need to talk about what's going on with you. Mm-hmm. I said, no, don't make me. And so I come to find out so much about the Lord and the world, the supernatural and the spiritual mm-hmm. world. I learned so much about that. But also that explained why over the years, I've always seen people trying to wake up in caskets. So when I got saved, it started in my dreams. This is in my dreams. I would walk by them and then they wake up. Mm-hmm. No more trying to wake up. Like they go this side and go to that side. So it was normal for me to see a casket in my dream. Mm-hmm. It was normal for me to go into a trance and demons come up. It's normal for me to wake up and see a demon standing over me. My life right now, I wake up, I see angels. Mm-hmm. So some of us just are like that when it comes to the supernatural. The Lord makes us like that.
So with all of that, you've talked about the demonic and how it was an oppression, basically, in your life.
Terrible.
There's infidelity in your family. Yeah. You made some poor choices. You lived with someone. Mm-hmm. It affected your relationships mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Big time.
With all of that, how did the Lord Jesus get your attention? How did you come to know the Lord?
That's so wonderful. You know, it's always been burning in me to know the Lord. Like, even when I talked about 11 years old, I would be the only kid in church standing up testifying, you know, mm-hmm. like, that's what we call it, testifying, and like, just happy for the Lord. I couldn't mm-hmm. even explain it. Mm-hmm. It was just always just something burning inside of me. There was a man that came to our hometown in Georgia. He had a conference or whatever. He was doing a revival where he pulled me up on stage. Okay. When he pulled me up on stage, he put his hand on me and it scared me to death because we don't know anything about that as Baptist people. I'm not picking on Baptists. And when he put me up on stage, I immediately just fell. I didn't know I was sensitive to anything like that. When I got up, I started audibly hearing the voice of the Lord. Mm-mm. And people were looking at me like, do you know what's inside of you? Mm-hmm. So many things just started making sense. There were things that only the Lord could know, that he was sending prophets to me. He was sending people like that could tell me things only the Lord knew about me. Mm-hmm. I had a good friend of mine. This is so funny. Just to add a little bit of light. He said, Cordelia, I am so glad you came over to our side. Because if you didn't, you would have been one of those psychics living over. I said, that's so funny. But you just never know when the world attacks you. Mm-hmm. But when the Lord starts sending his people to speak for him, people actually, you know, the thing about prophets, I love prophets. They called me on my phone and said, come to one of our houses. We're going to have a meeting. How did they know anything about me? Mm-hmm. The Lord told them. Yeah, you understand?
Exactly.
So then my gift of prophecy started, you know, those little revival parties. Mm-hmm. That's how he got my attention big time. He would send people to tell me things. And this is...
Had you received him at this point or you were just attending?
Oh, yeah.
Things?
This is after I received him in 2016.
Okay.
Yes. All this right. was like literally right after.
Well, what was the moment you said yes to Jesus?
The moment I said yes to Jesus.
Yeah. What was that?
Oh, God, that's so good. It was... To be honest with you, it was right during that moment, like I started this kind of walk with the Lord, my actual relationship. It wasn't just religion anymore mm-hmm. because I've been in religion all my life, but relationship, that was the moment that I got healed and I heard the Lord's voice.
When you got healed, okay.
Big time.
Okay.
That was
okay.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very linear. I got to get.
No, that's a great
follow.
Question. Because...
I want to help everybody else too, because I want them to get the linear progression of what happened with you and coming into the Lord and the relationship now. Once you accepted Jesus, what transformation started to happen? I mean, because obviously you were exposed to all this demonic activity prior, had personal decisions you made that were not godly. Yeah. What happened? What was the transformation boom, that happened? Was it an immediate thing? Was it progressive? Was it both?
It was definitely immediate. I will tell you that much. I started obeying the Lord. I heard his voice. I started listening.
Bung.
And when I listened, everything started falling into place. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that right during that time, there were some people who literally were like, Cordelia, you had voodoo on you, mm-hmm. but they didn't want to tell me. They were being nice about it because they mm-hmm. think I couldn't handle that. Mm-hmm. But then things started really getting strange in my dreams. I started seeing these African people come to my dream and they would be clapping. They were mm-hmm. very happy for me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who are these people? I know they were dead. They're mm-hmm. not even alive anymore. And then then the fear kicked in. And then I started manifesting my fears. As prophetic people, we cannot do that. I was afraid that somebody was going to appear. This is mm-hmm. crazy. Mm-hmm. And you know what happened, don't you? Mm-hmm. An African person appeared big time. And thank God it was out in the open. It wasn't like in my room or bedroom, mm-hmm. anything like that. She came in my bedroom and said that, you know, when you come to Africa, if you're not protected, people can put voodoo on you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why are you telling me this? And this was at my work. And she goes, but if you're protected, you don't have to worry about it. And I felt like I knew her, but I didn't know where I knew her from.
Yeah.
And then she walked away and I never saw her again.
Okay. Well,
so that's okay. When my fear. So then I started learning you cannot fear, especially when you're prophetic, okay. Right. You know?
With that, mm-hmm. Did you have to go through deliverance, what we call deliverance? Mm-hmm. To get rid of the past
absolutely.
And the demonic activity and the necromony, whatever, I think that's what it's called.
Oh, absolutely.
How did that happen? What happened there?
Yeah.
Let's encapsulate that and then we'll get ready for
that's
our next
so good.
Episode.
No, it's very true because the evangelist told me because there needs to be more healing. And I thought once you got healed, once you were good. No, yeah. I had to go through multiple healings, multiple revivals, multiple laying of the hands on because the demonic was kind of there, but not really. Like I could tell it'd be like if there was like a shaking of the doorknob or something mm-hmm. when I went into a trance, it would just be standing there waiting. Mm-hmm. But if I interacted with someone demonic, mm-hmm. I would go into a trance. Where was the demonic? But if I didn't, I was completely healed of it. You mm-hmm. understand? So there was a gradual healing, which is a great question. And then the necromancy eventually stopped. It was not, the necromancy was one that was very gradual, actually, mm-hmm. because even when my father passed away, there were things that happened in my dream. I would go and tell my mom and she would know it. Mm-hmm. And she would, well, I would tell her my father said something in my dream. And sure enough, she was like, you're right. Mm-hmm. My father would say, oh, your oil needs to be changed in the car. Sure enough, he was right. Mm-hmm. My father said, tell your mom, don't do this. And sure enough, things were happening. That was familiar spirits, you understand?
Yes.
Okay. So then one day, a demon came to me in my dream, just like my father. And I said, you're not my father. Mm-hmm. And it looked at me in my dream like it was so surprised. And that's how I know I was healed of mm-hmm. that completely.
Okay. So you mentioned a little earlier that now you're seeing angels.
Yes.
After you receive Jesus.
Yeah.
What is the interaction there? What happens there?
Mm.
I mean, these are godly beings.
That's a whole new show. But I will tell you, thank God for California because, to be honest with you, I'm getting chills just saying this. I thought all this that I'm telling you happened in Georgia and before mm-hmm. I came here. So when I came here, I thought I had arrived. I was thinking, it's good. I'm good. I died to self. I'm good to go. Lord said, no, I didn't die till I came here to California to myself. Because there's so much work to be done on us mm-hmm. before the Lord uses us completely. There are things that he has to break off us completely. And he brought me here to die, and I did die to self. But when I started spending, I met a prophet in 2018, and he told me to turn my clock back. You got to spend time with the Lord. And the Lord had been telling me that before he said it. Mm-hmm. Okay. I started with 20 minutes and then 30 mm-hmm. and then an hour. By the time I got to California, it was easy because I'd already jet lagged. So when I started spending that one-to-one time, then the angels started appearing. So I wake up and I'll see these beings in my room and they just disappear. Or I just feel something over here on the side. I feel mm-hmm. wings flicker. Mm-hmm. You know, you just feel the presence, the peace, the meekness every day of my life. Mm-hmm. Not every other day, every day, every day. I'm so thankful for that. The problem is the devil will try to distract you so you can't enjoy it. But mm-hmm. every day of my life. Yeah. That's a blessing. Wow. That's a blessing. I'm that part, I'm going to tell you, that's not something you ever get used to, because they're so, it's so incredible, you know? Yeah. Or just, I'm walking and a coming angel walks up to me and you don't even know it's a coming angel. Hebrews 13:2, until they, something strange happens and then they walk away and disappear. You just don't know, you know, when that happens.
As we're about to close out this particular segment, what is the one thing that you see so differently about yourself now that you're a woman of God and in Christ versus where you were before?
Yeah. The love of God, the love of Jesus, and how he deeply wants us to have that in us so that we can be used by him to express that in others. Mm-hmm. That is huge. Mm-hmm. That's the one. For sure. Mm-hmm. Because other than that, you're just dealing with life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, life, that
question.
Thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's such a good question.
Well, wow. You know.
My God.
Boy, time goes quickly.
That was just like a blink for me, literally.
We are going to continue our interview with Cardelia in the next episode. And we're going to be moving now into her life with the Lord. Mm-hmm. What he's done. Because actually, 2016... to 2023, that's not a very long period of time. So you've been on the express track. Okay.
You know, it's funny. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit told me. Only a prophet could say that. It's true. Uh-huh. And that's a track to be on, because it will kill you. Are you going to go?
Exactly. So the great thing with the Lord Jesus is that once we repent, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, we're cleansed and he remembers it no more.
Amen.
So
amen,
Cardelia
amen,
can amen. Talk about her past and I will talk about mine. But Jesus remembers it no more because we came and gave our lives to him. And you can do the same thing.
Yes, yes.
Because Jesus is, they're not a respecter of persons. What Jesus did for Cardelia, he can do for you. When he took the past away from her, he could take your past away from you and put you on the trajectory into a life of freedom. So ask Jesus into your heart and become free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And stay with us for the next episode as we continue with Cardelia. And thank you. And Cardelia, get ready for part 2.
Thank you. Wow.